I think a lot of people didn't like that Yoshi melts when he hits water. Like, he's made of sugar. Podcast, a podcast about video games by the Nintendo fans at NegativeWorld.org.
This is episode 21.
We're recording this on Saturday, November 19th, 2011, a mere day from the American Skyward Sword release. I'm your host, Steven, or as I'm known on the boards, Dr. Finkelstein. And with me today, I have...
I am the Cryogen, otherwise known as Larry, and later this podcast, my topic will be the social stigmas associated with gaming, how it's developed over the years, and ultimately how Nintendo got drawn in and torn apart with it.
All right, and also with us we have...
It's me, Mario!
No, sorry, it's my name's Tom, known as GameWizard65. Later on in the show I'll be talking about Super Mario 3D Land, a pretty cool game, as a matter of fact.
That it is. As for myself, I'm going to talk about the Mario Kart franchise, specifically asking the question, where is the Brawl version of it? That's with air quotes, of course, too. But before we head forth, I wanted to make a brief shout-out to Game Dad Grant for his donation and help on this podcast. He is essentially making it possible. So give him an E pat on the back for us. So with that said, let's get started. Here's what we've been playing.
I'm actually a bit of a multi-gamer, I guess. What I do is I have two TVs set up in my room, and I play one on one and one on the other. Weird like that. What I've been playing lately is Twilight Princess. I've been trying to blow through it as quickly as I could before Skyward Sword came out. And then on my other TV, I'm playing Gears of War 3.
So have you been doing that along with Mr. Mustache and Shadow Link, the Twilight Princess run?
I've tried. I didn't know that y'all were starting that on the boards until after I'd started playing the game.
Well, yeah, it wasn't so much a a thing that they were doing. It's just that Mr. Mustache is determined to get it beaten before tomorrow. And so Shadow Link just joined him. So I wasn't sure if that was something you guys did together.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going to make it.
No? Where are you at right now?
I just made it to the Yeti's house.
I remember
that.
Is
it like the snow level?
Yes. I just got done surfing down to his house, and I'm not going to make it to the end.
So then you've also been playing Gears of War?
Gears of War 3, yeah. I'm a bit of a Gears nut.
What? Tell me about that game. I mean, I admit I'm a little ignorant with that.
Gears of War, it takes place, I guess you would assume it's an alien world called Sera, though there are still humans. And there's basically, it's a very long story, and it's interconnected with about four novels, several comics. It's pretty much this race of beings called the Locust erupt from the subterranean world of Sera and start attacking humans. And the humans start fighting back, but they're losing heavily, and they actually start destroying their own cities and civilizations with a laser-based satellite weaponry to pretty much provide asset denial to the Locust. And you play a character named Marcus Fenix, whose father was a big component to winning the war. Uh-huh. And he pretty much left to save his father and abandon his post, which caused them to lose ground against the Locust, and he got put in the prison. For about 4 years or so. And then the game starts when his best friend comes and busts him out because all the Locusts are overrunning humanity, and the head of the COG pretty much grants a pardon to all the prisoners. And so from there, you start fighting back against the Locusts, trying to defeat them. And it's a really long, complex story. Like I said, complemented by several graphic novels and novels and stuff.
Isn't it it's a first-person shooter, right?
Third person.
Okay. And so is there RPG elements in that thing? Is that the game that has that, or am I thinking of something else?
No RPG elements to it.
Okay.
It's just straight up action.
Yeah, I don't play, I mean, I have an Xbox 360, but I don't play too much on it. I'm pretty Nintendo focused, so all that kind of stuff I hear about, but I have no idea.
That's same with me. My son, he has an Xbox 360, and he's played all the Gear of War games. And I mean, I'll be honest, they look like really awesome, but with me, I know sometimes people will get down on me for not playing the other systems, but I just don't have the time. I mean, I work about 60, 70 hours a week, and I'm lucky to get, you know, even with the Wii, as few games that's been out on that system, I just have a huge backlog on the games. And it's just been recently that I've actually even started getting back into gaming, and most of it's been on my handheld system. And it may sound kind of bad, but most of my gaming's done at my one job that I work at, because I'm there like 8 hours, but I only actually probably put in about 3 to 4 hours worth of work. So in all my downtime, you know, I play my Mario game and all my games that I've downloaded from the eShop.
At my job too, I have pockets of downtime that having my 3DS really helps with.
As far as handhelds, the last one I played was Aliens Infestation, which was pretty awesome.
Uh-huh.
And I pretty much played that at work during my break time, and then occasionally at home.
Right. So we all play video games at work, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Hopefully none of our respective bosses or superiors are listening to this podcast. Although, I blatantly do it in front of everyone because there's no reason for me to hide it. So I assure all the listeners, I'm not slacking off.
my people, they know I play the game, so it's pretty cool. But I don't think anybody that I work with probably will be listening to the podcast. There might be one or two, but
hopefully they will, and they'll be inspired to bring their own 3DSs so that way you guys can do some multiplayer gaming. But I'm living in a dream world. So Tom, what have you been playing?
Here lately, probably mostly I've been playing. I never really was into the handheld games as I was growing up, and downloaded, you know, a few of the Super Mario Land from the original Game Boy. Went through that and completed that probably about 3 weeks ago, and now I am on to the Donkey Kong 94. And I'll actually be honest, at first I didn't remember playing it, but then I got to a few levels later on in the game, and I think that one of my sons actually had that game, or somebody bought it for them like years ago, because then I did remember a few of the levels, but I haven't completed the game, but it's a really fun game. And, you know, the biggest thing with the handhelds, I ain't going to say I have like really huge hands, but they're pretty big, and I don't know, just sometimes it's just like I get tired of playing. It's just like my hands start cramping up. But, you know, these games, they're really fun. I mean, you know, I probably missed out on a really lot of great games, you know, as far as handheld gaming goes. So, you know, but the Donkey Kong 94, that game is like really, really big. There's a lot of levels. And I've actually got stuck a couple times and had to go online and go to a couple walkthroughs to find out what the heck to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my first experience of that game was recently too, but it's a hell of a game. And for what, $4?
Right, yeah, I think they're like $3.99.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
The Mario Land, that one, I'll be honest, I breezed through that one pretty quick, but when I got to the very last boss, I don't know, it probably took me about a half hour, 45 minutes before I actually defeated him. I just kept dying over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm. Now, but I hear you on the length of that game, because I remembered it so nostalgically, so I bought it right away. And I have the cart sitting in my closet right now, but I never remembered beating it. You know, when I was younger, I just couldn't get that far, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to just finally do it. And in that same sitting, I did it. I was like, really? So I got to the last level, I just didn't know. So that was kind of a letdown. I thought there was more content, but
the Donkey Kong 94, there's every level's like really cool. I mean, there's a huge variety. I think I'm on world 4 right now. I'm not sure exactly how many worlds there are in that game.
I mean, there's like 100 levels though, so I don't know how I think they're divided in, is it 10 a level or 10 a world?
Yeah, well, each level, like, I think, you know, like when you're in the forest and then you're on a ship, and, you know, each world is broken up into several different levels. So I'm thinking there's probably like around 8 worlds or 9 worlds or something like that.
It's a hell of a game, that's for sure. I just recently got into, what is it, the Mario vs. Donkey Kong series. And that's kind of where it got its start in some respects. The same kind of challenges are with that. So it was cool to, just like I love Picross, as I make it very apparent, and to find out that there was a Mario's Picross years before, you know, what I got to experience. It's like a weird nostalgic treat. You know, it's like someone discovering that, oh, there's a Mario Brothers 1? Wow, you know, so yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's Mario versus Donkey Kong with the March of the Minis. I think that would be like some of the next games. Like once I complete some of these games that I've downloaded from the eShop, get into some of those. And I think that one, that Mario versus Donkey Kong, like I said, I know my kids had that. And I remember reading, I think, a message on the message board. I think the ones they had was the colorized version because they did eventually come out with, because somebody was complaining about that they should have released it in color instead of the black and white version. I could be wrong on that, but.
I've been playing some, you know, one thing that, well, like you said, Super Mario 3D Land, I've been playing that a lot. I actually just 100%ed it last night, and that's a good game, but we'll wait for discussion on that in a little bit. The other thing that I was playing in the past couple weeks was actually DuckTales 2 for the NES, which is obviously not something new, but I had heard about it on the, I think it was the Radio Free Nintendo podcast, and I was like, there's a sequel to DuckTales. I might have even known that years ago, but I just never played it or tried to find it. And so I managed to play it, and I played it all the way through. And I actually have a review on the site if you guys are interested or if anyone out there is interested. But there's a lot of build up with DuckTales, the music, the levels, the gameplay. It's all very classic, nostalgic, and also just actually good. And so DuckTales 2 happens to be close, but not exactly to that level, but it's so much fun. And there's a lot of cool game mechanics that are new using that cane of his, and the music is almost there as far as how catchy the original is. But have you guys played any of the original DuckTales games? The first one or the second one here?
I played the first one, but it's been forever, so I don't really remember too much about it, except that I liked it.
Now, myself, I haven't played any DuckTales games, but from what I remember, it seemed like they got fairly decent reviews, that the games were put together fairly well.
Yeah, so if you guys, you know, get a chance, I'd recommend trying to give it a play at some point in your life. Though it is pretty tricky. I mean, copies are, I guess, on eBay for like $65. And, you know, I mean, as a lot of NES games, rare ones as well. Not the company rare, but just rare to find. So, I mean, it might be an expensive price to pay, but it's definitely a really fun game, and it holds up to this day, in my opinion. There's like one minor gripe I really had about it, which again is in the review, so I won't spoil that for you. But besides that, I mean, we also just finished the Mario Kart League last night on the Negative World, you know, forums. And I had a pretty satisfying final week, although I can't say the same about every other week I raced in. But that was a lot of fun. And, you know, I'm going to put a shout out to Mr. Mustache for organizing that, because leagues are the kind of thing where everyone talks about, but no one orchestrates, you know. No one actually pulls the trigger and gets them started. But Mr. Mustache, he's a man of action, and he did it. So it was a lot of fun.
Well, hopefully when the Mario Kart 3D comes out, hopefully we can do something with that. I would have liked to have joined the one for the Wii, but I don't have the Mario Kart game for the Wii, so that's why I never joined that one. But I definitely plan on getting the Mario Kart for the 3DS, because I will be honest, when I did own the DS, I had that Mario Kart game, and I played the hell out of that. I mean, I pretty much 100%ed it. And the only reason that I ended up getting rid of it, because at that time, like every third racer that I would play, it was somebody cheating. I mean, I remember this one, you know, they'd have like the blue shell over and over again, and I could never snake. And those people I could snake, I mean, I had no chance of winning at all.
Right.
And I'll be honest. I mean, I still had more wins than losses, but I was in the thousands. Like, I forget how many thousands of wins compared to how many thousands of losses that I had, but it was the Mario Kart DS bundle that came with the red DS. And on the directional pad where my thumb sits, I guess the acids from my body actually wore away the red paint. So there was like an orange thumbprint right there on where the directional pad was at.
That's something.
I mean, I liked the console Mario Kart games a lot too. Don't get me wrong, but there's something about that DS. I mean, I played that sucker a lot. I'd have no idea how many hours I had invested in that, but it was a lot of fun. And I'd probably have to say that was probably the, you know, I'd have to pick that above and beyond all the Mario Kart games that I played as the best one.
Mm-hmm. Well, the DS one, in my opinion, it is the pinnacle of the handheld versions, you know. And Mario Kart Wii is quite possibly a pinnacle of the console versions. So that gives a lot of good hope toward going into Mario Kart 7, which I can assure you, we've already been talking about racing and a league, perhaps, and stuff like that. So you can definitely get in on that. Are you buying it launch day?
Oh, yeah, I'll get it when it comes out launch. I already went on the Club Nintendo, and they had one of those, Intend-to-Buy things. Mm-hmm. So I already get that set up. And yeah, because that'll be probably my main games I get for this season. I got the Mario 3DS Skyward Sword tomorrow, and then the Mario Kart 3DS come out in December.
Yeah, same for me, exactly. And then everything else, hopefully, for Christmas or in the new year. I'll go back and get some things that I missed. Larry, do you have a 3DS?
I do.
Yeah, and so you're getting Mario Kart?
I do intend to.
Okay, awesome. Then hopefully we'll see you on in the league.
Yeah, that'll be pretty awesome if they do start. I don't know how many people from Negative World will end up getting the game, but hopefully there'll be enough of us to where we could start a league. And that way, at least we'll all be on the same page. Nobody will have that any more time with it than the other person, so...
Topic. I just wanted to introduce a new segment called What Do You Think? Yes, I'm really proud of that name, and I picked a handful of things from the forums, over the past week or two, and I really wanted some quick opinions from you guys. Kind of rapid fire, but not really. There's only three of us, so feel free to dive in a little bit. But but just really quick, random stuff from the boards. I actually put a poll up a little while ago for favorite original Sonic game. Larry, what's your favorite original Sonic?
Sonic 2.
And what about you, Tom?
Oh, I feel really bad. I've never the only Sonic game I've ever played was the one for the Wii, The Secret of the Rings.
So your favorite old school Sonic is Secret of the Rings.
So I guess I'd have to say, I know it's not the original, but I do have the actual very first Sonic game downloaded on the virtual console, and I've probably had it downloaded since it was actually came out on the virtual console, but I've yet to play it.
All right. I'll ask you again in 2 months' time. Fair enough. All right, Super Mario Sunshine, clean or dirty? Larry?
I guess I'd have to ask, how do you mean clean or dirty?
There was recent talk about it with the new Mario game coming out, and everyone, it's easy to hate on it. So was it really a truly shitty game, or was it actually just a good Mario game, just not the greatest?
So I enjoyed it. I liked it. I mean, it gave something a little bit different. I don't know what problem people had with it, but I liked it. So,
and what about you, Tom?
I liked the game a lot. The only thing I was disappointed in was there wasn't a big variety in the worlds. You know what I mean? I know he was on vacation, and that was the theme. But I kind of missed the snow levels and the lava levels and the desert levels. I really enjoyed the game. I guess I'd probably have to say it probably was my least favorite, but that's not, I'm not gonna say the game sucked or anything like that. I liked it.
But finally, the last what do you think question is, if you could pick the next 3D Classics title for the 3DS, what would it be?
Kung Fu.
Not Shaq Fu?
Nope, Kung Fu. Shaq Fu. I remember that.
I have a copy of that in my closet that I've never played. I don't know where it came from, but it's there. Okay, Kung Fu, why? If you even have an understanding of why. Maybe you just think it would be cool. I've never played the game, so I don't know.
Oh, Kung Fu is awesome. Just, go down a hallway, beat the crap out of a bunch of people, beat the crap out of a boss, go up a flight of stairs, and do it all over again.
Sounds good. All right. And what about you, Tom?
And these are only games that would be downloaded on the eShop.
Pretty much anything before the N64 era.
Yeah. No, actually, I would. I'd like to see Link to the Past. I'd like to see that done in 3D. Mm-hmm. That would be cool because that's again. I've never played the 2D Zelda games. Ocarina of Time was the first game that I played. And so I'd like to see that done. I'd like to play it, my first experience have it in 3D.
Huh. Yeah, actually, that might be the case for me in Kirby's Adventure. That just came out as a 3D classic because I never played the NES version, which apparently is a really good one. So I'm thinking about picking it up.
Yeah, same here. The only Kirby game I played was Epic Yarn last year, so I've never played any traditional Kirby games. So, yeah, I'm going to probably download that from the eShop as well.
But I guess to answer the questions myself really quick, favorite original Sonic game goes to Sonic 2 as well. Although I admit I haven't played 3 or 3 and Knuckles very much. I mean, that seems to be a big favorite. Super Mario Sunshine, definitely clean. Maybe a little dirty, a little naughty. Not really, but... definitely very clean. I enjoyed the game a lot, and I'm actually looking forward to playing that again. I did 100% that game, so I'm kind of proud of that. But I should boot it up just so I can jump off the cliff at, what is it, Noki Bay or something? Or I don't know, what a beautiful level that was. But and then 3 classics. Link to the Past was on my mind, but I wish I could pick something more obscure. But I definitely would love to play Yoshi's Island. With like a 3D effect. That would be really awesome. And I feel like that might be happening at some point too. I just have an inkling. Topic.
All right, so my topic is about the social stigmas associated with gaming. I'm 30 years old, and I started gaming probably back about Atari time, but I never really kind of got involved with the whole social aspect of gaming until about the time the NES came out, and even then I still didn't get to play it for about a year because when I got it for Christmas, my parents didn't know how to hook it up until about a year and a half later. It just seems like when gaming first came about, I mean, at least for my age, it was more of like a hip thing where, you know, the kids in the neighborhood would do, and it was just, you know, kind of like a cool-ish thing to do, but it wasn't the mainstream happening thing to do. And as just time goes by, you tend to hear things about gamers like, oh, gamers have no lives, gamers have no girlfriends, you know, gamers just do nothing but waste their time, and they're all fat and lazy and slob-like and stuff. And now, more recently, it's become part of mainstream media. And it's just kind of interesting how it, you know, just continually develops just to, you know, I guess based on its popularity and such. But then you kind of see how it's improved over time through, throughout culture, but yet it's devolved within itself. And this is, I guess, especially true with online gaming, where you have gamers who insult other gamers with the very same insults that they've been labeled with way back when. But then I find that happens more with younger gamers who haven't really, you know, had time to, I guess, get involved or, I guess, get immersed in that type of gaming culture. And I was just kind of wondering what y'all thoughts on that might be.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not going to say it's across the board, but I think I'm a little bit of a introvert, and people that I know that are into games a lot, they're a little bit that same way. I think it's something that appeals to maybe that type of person. I mean, you know, yeah, I've had girlfriends. I've done stuff other than just playing video games, but that's really like my comfort zone. I don't know. I mean, I know my biological dad, he passed away when I was like really little, but apparently he was like big into pinball. Playing, because back then that's all they had. And my mom said that, you know, all the time he was always late picking her up because he'd get absorbed into doing that. So I think it's just something that, you know, also that a person, you know, what's inside your brain or whatever, you know, I like all the colors and that stuff. It just appeals to me. So, I mean, I'm probably more so, I'm more sociable now than what I was when I was younger, but I'm still a little bit of an introvert. It's just easy to kind of get back and, you know, just get comfortable into playing my games and just being alone. And, you know, I'm kind of like happier that way sometimes.
And I agree with you guys about there being a definite comfort zone to video games. I guess, you know, with other media, that's the same way. Some people go to the movies religiously, or some people read books religiously. But I play video games kind of religiously. And there was a time a few years ago when I was really going through some big changes. And if I didn't play Dr. Mario every damn day, to, you know, it was like a centering thing for me. You know, and even when I'm really busy with work, I try to play video games a little bit because it just helps me feel like my day had a little bit of relaxation in it, you know. But, you know, I as I've dated over the past few years specifically, you know, the idea of bringing myself up as a big Nintendo fan and a big gamer is kind of, you know, it's an interesting thing to tackle. I keep naturally wanting to, like, suppress it, or, you know, maybe my Mario fuzzy dice in my car should be taken down. You know, my sister tells me that all the time. But I, with me though, I feel like, you know, whatever. It's just, it's who I am. We tend to be so wrapped up in the stigma of it. Even us gamers, you know, not even someone from the outside, but that we worry too much about it. And we really should just be ourselves, because there's a whole ton of us out there. There's a whole forum of video game loving bastards, right now at negativeworld.org. Who we just love it, and I think anyone on the boards tends to be passionate about it too.
Yeah, I mean, that's like with me. I mean, I'm 46 years old, and my one job, they asked me, they go, "Do you have any other shirts other than like video game related shirts?" Because that's all I wear. And I always get compliments, like when I'm out at the mall or at a store, like, "Oh man, I really like your Donkey Kong t-shirt," or "I like your Super Mario Brothers 3 t-shirt." You know, I get people, you know, complimenting me all the time. So, I mean, I don't worry about it. It's just like, that's me and that's what I like. And, you know, like as I was mentioning earlier, as I was growing up, yeah, I tried playing like sports and baseball and football, but I kind of sucked at all that stuff. I wasn't good at it. And so when video games came around, you know, like, you know, especially like Pac-Man and stuff, I actually found something that I was good at, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know though, after seeing how fast some of you guys played Mario 3DS, I feel like I'm kind of sucking at it.
Well, you know, we all mentioned how we play this at work, you know, our games, our handhelds and stuff. How do you guys think that affects people's perceptions of us?
Well, most of my coworkers, they'll come in and they see me playing games, and some of them actually have a genuine interest in what I'm playing, and I'll show them, especially with the 3DS, they'll come in and be like, "What are you playing?" I'm playing something in 3D, and I'll show them, and then they'll be like, "Wow, that's cool." And a couple of them have actually gone out and gotten one. I do have a coworker who I pretty much go in and trade data with him so he can get at least one puzzle piece from all my puzzles since I've completed them all. And no one gives me any trouble for it. They're just like, you know, "Oh, Larry has the gaming going, so I'm gonna ask how I'm, you know, going." So at least people at my job are, you know, pretty accepting, you know, of my gaming habits.
See, I admit it's kind of hard for me to really see the quote unquote stigmas that you would see maybe like on a TV show. You know, of course they would knock the stereotype up a bit just because that's something that everyone can relate to, even if it's not them themselves. But that's why stereotypes exist, especially in the media, is because, you know, you look at a stereotype for 2 seconds and okay, you understand what the character is supposed to be like. So it saves time. But I don't really have that experience in my life now that I think about it. I also wear Nintendo shirts, not all the time. I've cut back over the years, or at least I've gotten more stylish ones. But actually, I was going to say really quick, when I was in New York City, I used to live there for a little while. And I remember walking down the street one day, and, you know, a lot of the stores and the restaurants have these, you know, big windows, of course. And I'm walking down the street, and this guy, he like looks at me and he starts like kind of smiling and like kind of really like motioning in my direction. I was like, "Am I being hit on through the window?" Like, I was like, this is kind of a weird thing. Then I realized the reason he was like kind of smiling and nodding at me was because of my shirt. And he had pointed at the last second, like as my eye moved, he was pointing at my shirt to his friend. And I was like, okay, like that makes sense. But, I would have been flattered either way. But you know, walking through New York, which is apparently a very hip city, which I think I was like in the least hip part of town. So that doesn't help, but still, you know, so like, I think that people, closeted gamers and open gamers alike, do appreciate the gamer culture. I think that more and more as, I guess, computer and nerd tech and all that stuff gets more mainstream, because that's what everything's going to these days in every industry. You know, there's a lot more technology involved in everything. I think games are becoming less of a, of a toy or less of a nerdy, you know, activity that you want to keep closed off in your room, but and becoming a more broader thing. I mean, we have award shows now for gaming, which are still niche, but they're more highly publicized. I think you see a lot more video game coverage from even CNN or USA Today or TV shows, things like that. So I think it's getting better. But the thing is, I think it's actually the big problem is the segregation within the community itself is more of the issue. You've got, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. It's just, well, I think it became a lot more apparent with Nintendo around the time of the GameCube era. I mean, the GameCube came out and it was a very solid system, but then some jackass had to go make the comment, oh, it's a purple lunchbox for kids. And all of a sudden, that's all you heard about. Nintendo was kitty this, kitty that. In college, I was like, with a group of guys, we were just talking about gaming. I said, oh, I got a GameCube. And some jackass, his face like curls up in a sneer that you wouldn't think would, you know, come from someone who plays games. He's like, oh, Nintendo, that stuff's for babies.
Yeah.
And like, I almost
I liked the purple GameCube. When I went on launch day, I was worried that I wouldn't be able to get the purple one. I wanted the purple GameCube. I didn't want everything's black. I didn't want the black one.
It's just after that, people bought into that, and that's, you know, and your average, well, most of your average gamers, that's all they saw Nintendo as, was just this company that did nothing for kids, and all their product were just kiddie, and their competition capitalized on that, and pretty much just had Nintendo labeled. So all the adolescents who tried to, I guess, feel secure in their manhood wanted to go with the console makers that did the mature games and all that crap, and I think that hurt Nintendo a pretty good bit.
I think that's a good point to make, is that it's an insecurity within themselves that then gets applied to video games. Because, like, I mean, we all seem pretty comfortable in our skin over our Nintendo love, and maybe because we're all older as well, but I don't knock anyone for being proud of, you know, being a Modern Warfare fan or anything like that. I know that that just sold a lot of copies and stuff, but, you know, damn it, I love my Mario.
Not to interrupt you, but real quick, like my brother and my son, they're more into those games, the Modern Warfare's, Call of Duty's, Halo's, but both of those, they freely admit, because my brother, he buys Nintendo as well, but he's more into the first-person shooter games. But we were talking one day, and I said, well, what do you think's a harder game? Like, what do you think about Super Mario Galaxy? And he said, hands down, he thought the game was way harder than any of the first-person shooter games he plays. Like, it was more challenging to him than what those type of games are. So as far as the whole kiddie stigma goes, I mean, even my son, he says the same thing. He'd rather play the first-person shooter games, but he thinks that the Mario games are tougher, especially the complete 100%.
Right.
Go
ahead. I'm done.
It's not even just the challenge. It's just the association with it. A lot of the gamers who want to, you know, be seen as like mature gamers, they don't want to see themselves as being associated with even playing a Mario game, even if it's the most challenging game out there. They feel like, you know, if someone sees them playing Mario, they'll be like, oh, that's just, you know, some little kiddie game or something. And they don't want to be seen like that. So they'll just jump in the bag and be like, oh yeah, forget Mario. That stuff's for kids, blah, 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 crap.
What's funny too is that if they just wouldn't do that, then they would be helping their cause, because by them just, you know, subduing to the pressures of that, they continue the pressure itself. So if they were just proud to play Mario or proud to play, you know, this colorful game or that colorful game, I mean, even like Crash Bandicoot and those kind of games from back then, I'm thinking right now about like how Sony had quote unquote kiddie games or just family friendly games. And, if we all just were accepting of the things that we play, or we're just more concerned with our own tastes instead of everyone else's, there would be such a smaller problem here, you know? And I think that the forums themselves, not to segue necessarily if you guys weren't done talking about that, but the forums, the Negative World forums, one of the things that I like the most about them is that I feel like there's a lot of, even though, yeah, people bitch and complain sometimes about someone's opinion on this game or that game, but there's a lot of just warmth there. Like, everyone can just be themselves and play the games that they like. And we don't even discriminate against non-Nintendo talk. I mean, there's a lot of it, you know, spread around there. It's a Nintendo themed forum, but we're just gamers enjoying our hobby. And I think that that's a really nice place that we to go. And that it's nice that I have a place to go to talk about this, because on a lot of other forums, especially Nintendo related talk, you get that stigma. That stigma does not exist. You know, where this podcast originated from, Negative World. So I think that's what I like about it so much, and why it was so easy for me to flock from IGN, where I used to do a lot of my forum posting. It felt like a natural fit, and not just because of the Nintendo theme or the fact that my skin on the forums is Mega Man right now, but it's the fact that it's the people there, you know?
Yeah, we don't have to worry about trolling.
Oh, absolutely not. Which is, oh, it's beautiful. Let's just take a minute to bask in how beautiful that is. I mean, you can't even go to YouTube without being trolled or Rick Rolled.
I like Rick Rolling.
I do too. It's a good song. And it reminds me of the Robo theme from Chrono Trigger, which recently I thought that before it became a big thing, but I just never said anything about it. But yeah, they are very similar songs. And Robo's theme is one of my favorites, but I digress.
It seems like it's gotten better. I mean, it's far more socially acceptable, which is good. But at the same time, it's almost disheartening to see the community cave in on itself, you know, with the same, you know, stigmas that they were previously labeled with. So it's like better seen as a society as a whole, but then I guess elitists have probably dragged it back down a little.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see a way out? Do you see do you foresee this changing in the future, or do you think that we're going to be stuck like this? And if you do see a way out, what do you think that is? I mean,
sadly, I really don't. And like you said, a lot of it comes just from people's, you know, personal tastes and personal opinions. And until people as a whole change, I don't think, you know, gaming itself will change. I mean, well, gaming itself will, of course, change, but just I think the stigmas will probably stay the same in some form.
You don't think that, or both you guys, do you guys think that maybe the whole push to have quote-unquote casuals or non-gamers join into the gaming community, do you think that changes it at all? Because I think, in a way, it can hurt because, oh, now just babies and your mama play. You know, like, although at the same time, it's like, no, my, you know, me and my dad bond over this now, you know, like it's more of a mature thing in that respect.
In a way, I think it definitely helped, but at the same time, I want to say, well, shovelware has also pretty much hurt it because it's hard to take it seriously when you just get that much amount of crap coming out.
You know what? I'm going to double up on and agree with that. That's in my mind, one of the biggest factors that the stigma sticks around with Nintendo particularly. Is the lack of trying by developers to make games that are actually worthwhile. So, you know, I guess we can move on then. I'm quite interested and eager to talk about some Mario.
Yeah!
Woohoo! It's me, Mario!
Larry,
I went out last Sunday, and I'll be honest, I had some worries about the game, especially like after playing like the Super Mario Land for the original Game Boy. I was thinking like, you know, I wonder how long this game is going to be and, you know, what's this going to have to offer. And I mean, at least for me anyways, I mean, to me, I mean, if this game didn't have the extra special levels and everything else going for it, I'd be happy with the content that's just there just in the main game. I mean, I'm just really surprised by it. And even like a couple other message boards, one guy, he said he's really not like a big Mario fan, but he went ahead. He said, however, he bought Super Mario Land because there really wasn't anything on the 3DS. He said he played about 15 hours or so into it, and he says he loves it. And he basically said the game is amazing, and he says, honestly, he doesn't really like Mario game, but he says there was something about the 3DS version that he really likes. And I feel the same way. I've played pretty much all the Mario games, and this does feel a little bit different than like Super Mario Galaxy. It does feel different than the 2D Marios. I mean, it's like when I'm playing, it's like I almost feel like I could go in there and just pick that little Mario out of the screen and hold him. It's just an amazing feeling that I get. And I'm always just surprised that every time I play these games, like how many Mario games that there are, like all the different levels and the ideas that they come up with. You know, it's just like there's, you know, it's it never seems to get old. I mean, I love it. There's a nice variety of music in the game. I know somebody mentioned, I don't know, about a week ago that they heard like all the music was just ripped out of the Super Mario Galaxy. Now, in some cases, that's true. Like on the ghost levels, I believe that's the same music, but they do have some new tunes in there as well. I mean, it's not all just ripped out of Super Mario Galaxy. And like I said, as far as the challenge, I know for some people, they went through the game pretty quick. I don't know what my major malfunction is, but like I said, I'm probably about halfway through World 8 because that even kind of surprised me. When I thought it was the end, it really wasn't the end. And I really didn't want to actually get that part completed before the podcast, but last night I just couldn't get into the game. I was just tired and just kind of laid down and watched TV. But, you know, I am going to definitely finish that part today, at least before Skyward Sword comes out. But it's just like, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm just like really surprised at how much is in the game, and how many, you know, levels there are just in the main course. It's, you know, I'm 100% happy with my purchase. I definitely think it was worth the $40. I mean, and I feel that it probably stands up to the console versions. Yeah, no, it may not be as long or as big as like the Super Mario Galaxy games, but it's definitely a lot longer than the older 2D games and the new Super Mario Brothers for the Wii. I think there's a lot more to it than even that game.
Yeah, as someone, like I said, I just 100%ed it, so I've experienced everything that the game has to offer. And I was worried initially with the idea of the levels being short. I mean, that's how a lot of the 2D Marios can be. I mean, I know that I can run through Super Mario Brothers 3 levels pretty quick. I mean, they are actually pretty short levels. And Super Mario World, in some respects, is the same way. But, you know, there's something so fun about these levels that the length involved me. I felt it was perfect. And especially when I was going through some aspect of the game, which I won't mention because it's kind of spoilerific. But there's a certain aspect of the game that you actually, the short levels make you appreciate that. It makes it a little bit easier to kind of get into that. But the levels,
yeah, plus the level, I mean, some of them may be kind of short, but it's not like you have to keep going back into the same level for different objectives. You know, you pretty much do that level for one thing and, you know, you're done with it. But yeah, I mean, some of them are short, but I was surprised at how big some of them are as well.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. And I think what's cool is that it allowed me to, for instance, you know, I'd be tackling a big level or a big challenge and I needed some Tanuki suits, you know, to help me with my platforming a little bit. And I can't remember exactly what level it is. It might even be a spoiler if I talk about it. So, but there's this one level that I like mastered because it was easy to get two Tanuki Leafs, and then finish it up, you know? So that was useful because I didn't want to, you know, I guess I could have saved with my two Tanuki Leafs and then just kept restarting the game if I wanted to like keep trying, but I didn't have to do that. I could just go back to one level, beat it really quick, get the power-ups I needed, that kind of thing.
I think some of my problem with the game is I was so used to playing the Galaxy games, like when you'd make a jump, and if you kind of missed your landing, Mario would grab onto the edge. But here, there's no grabbing. If you miss it, you're dead.
Yeah.
You know, I think I got kind of spoiled by that because I played the heck out of the Galaxy games, and you know, and then in here, it's like, no, you got to land. You just can't touch the edge. Or, you know, he's, you know, and I know at first in the back of my head, it's like, oh, man, why doesn't he grab onto that?
Yeah, I mean, it was something I did notice pretty quickly because of a jump that I felt should have been made. And so it adds a lot of challenge in the sense that you have to do the running start to get your decent jump. And then you have to make it or you're not going to grab on and everything, but there's something that's so good about the marriage of these graphics with this gameplay, the 2D focused gameplay. Cause yeah, obviously in Super Mario World, there was no ledge grabbing, you know, that's the old school way of doing it. You had a spot to land at and that you had to do it. And then the graphics though, I think are really beautiful. And, one thing I'm going to comment on, I'm amazed at the camera. I had no problems whatsoever with the camera. I would call it almost perfect. Because
yeah, I felt the same way. I thought the camera was pretty good. There wasn't any levels that I can remember playing where I said, "Man, I wish that would have been this way." You know,
right? And I mean, it's all very crafted to be specifically like these are meticulous bastards at Nintendo who just know exactly how to craft the experience that they want you to have. And the camera play a big role in that. You know, the camera, sometimes you're running towards the camera with, like, you know, stuff chasing you, and that's meant to happen. It's, you know, if you had a side view, that wouldn't be as intense. You know, so there's almost like a, not a story, but just there's a very specific experience that they want you to have, and they pull it off flawlessly. And it's never cumbersome. And if it is, if it's like tricky because of the camera, that's intentional.
And I just love the way it looks in the 3D. I mean, I can switch it back to the 2D. And yeah, you know, I guess it looks the same, but it doesn't. But just something about the 3D, for some reason, it just gives it that little just extra kick. And I mean, I just think it's beautiful. And the Galaxy games, I mean, to me, those were like the best games. And I might even have to say that I think this looks even just a tad better than the Galaxy games. Maybe because it's on the small screen. I don't know. But I really like it a lot. It's just like, I just want to like just play it all the time.
Well, hopefully you'll blow through Skyward Sword so you get that game out of your way, you know, so you can just keep playing some Mario.
Well, this game shouldn't, because I said I could play this game at work, and then when I get home at night, then I can get my Skyward Sword fixed. Plus, then this week, there's a short week for the Thanksgiving holiday. Wednesday will be my last day of work, so I'll have 4 days where, you know, where I'll be able to really get into the Skyward Sword quite a bit.
Try to keep myself on some media blackout, just because, I mean, it looks good, but I don't want to ruin myself on any of the puzzles or level design. From what I've seen for it, it looks really awesome, and definitely going to get it. So,
yeah, one thing.
Okay, so you said you 100% of the game. So, like, when you get to, like, you know, after you do that, I mean, how hard would you say those other levels are compared to the main story? I mean, are they about the same, or, you know, what do you think of those?
They're harder, but not necessarily because of the platforming per se. There's added things to some of the challenges that, I can't mention without it being a spoiler, but I'll just say that we've seen this kind of thing before in Mario games, and so there's a certain way that they change up familiar challenges.
But I know we're not trying to spoil the game for anybody, but like when you get all the star coins and you open up the special, is it like you're playing the whole game over again?
All right, well, if anyone not interested in hearing this answer, please forward by about 30 seconds.
Mamma mia!
But yeah, no, it unlocks kind of a special version of the game. But you don't play the same levels over and over. There's like remix versions, or there's even new levels. So
yeah, that's the thing I saw on the message board, where there's some new levels, but then some levels it's kind of the same, but there's like a new take on them.
Yeah, I mean, again, hopefully I'm in that 30-second window, but the thing that I'm going to mention is that Inkblot Mario, who chases you around in Galaxy a bit on those timed missions, you know, uh-huh. That son of a bitch, he's back.
All right.
A little bit. And that's where the added pressure is. I hated those levels, though. I mean, I loved them, but I don't like that pressure. You know, it makes me tense. But
see, what I thought was when you get all the star coins, it opened up like maybe one more world, and you'd have like maybe five or six, like, or eight new levels to play. You know what I mean? Kind of like in, it was like Super Mario World when you got that Star Road or whatever. Right. You know,
it's definitely a lot more than Star Road. There's a lot more content, and even, you know, even if it's a familiar place, it's still fresh. So in fact, it feels almost like a whole second game, you know, in many respects.
Okie dokie.
Yeah. So in a way, so like, you know, that was one of my points I was going to make. So this game, I mean, like for $40, it's like you're playing a full fledged Mario game. It's definitely not a dumbed down Mario game like, say, Super Mario Land was for the original Game Boy.
Oh, absolutely not. You know, although there's an interesting argument I won't go into too much, but you know, whether or not like, so this game pretty much justifies a $40 price tag. But do we want them to? You know, do we want games, or do we want Nintendo to be complacent with, you know, charging $40 because now Resident Evil is going to be $50 because of that extra boost they need for the cart size? And You know, it's, I mean, there's that weird divide between handheld and console, and they're merging almost. And in a way that's good, but in a way that's bad. Somebody should come on the podcast and talk about that sometime. but I definitely do think that, positions aside on that, that this game's worth the $40. And, like, I bought it from GameStop instead of Amazon because I wanted it, you know, as soon as I could get it. And, so it was worth the, like, the sales tax and everything. I mean, I could have got it for a few bucks cheaper and, like, free shipping and all that on Amazon, but I think it was worth every penny.
Oh, yeah, and I've been showing off my little Tanuki keychain to everybody, too. Here's this 46-year-old guy. Hey, look at this. Look what I got. Look what I got.
Well, that goes back to the stigmas thing, and tell us about the looks you've been getting. No,
but what's wrong with this guy? Yeah, you know, that's one thing I think I've mentioned in previous posts. I was always kind of a snob towards handheld gaming. Like, when I play my games, I like my big, you know, playing them on my 42-inch plasma, and I like my surround sound and everything. But I definitely didn't feel that at all while playing this Super Mario 3D Land. I mean, you know, I prefer playing it with my headset on. The only thing I would complain about the 3DS, I wish the volume, I wish it would go up just a little bit higher than what it does, maybe because I'm getting older and I can't hear as well.
I agree with that.
You know, but other than that, you know, it's just like, it's just, the game is just amazing. I mean, me personally, I mean, I'd just give it a 10 out of 10. I mean, I just don't see what there is to complain about the game. I mean, it's just, to me, it's just, yeah, I probably did die more in the Galaxy games, but I think it's just as challenging as what those games were, especially some of the levels, you know. Maybe not as challenging as that purple coin thing in Galaxy 1, but I liked it, and I especially liked at the end, like when, I think it was just like when you beat the very last stage of each world, the little dance that Mario would do around the flagpole and stuff. Mm-hmm. That was just really awesome. I was like, oh man, this is like really cute.
Yeah, no, the game's got, you know, charm up the wazoo, which Nintendo knows how to do really well. And that's one of the things that I think tend to get misconstrued as kiddie, almost. You know, like if a grown man, if he's going to melt at Mario doing a little dance, well, then he's a baby. Yeah. and I think that can happen ridiculously sometimes. But I mentioned it in my review. It is cute as hell to see Mario in a Tanuki suit crouched and walking around. He's adorable. I'm just going to say that right here and now. And that, you know, the $40 price tag is worth it for that alone, just so you can walk around in a Tanuki suit. But the game just oozes all that. And one thing I wanted to go back on and touch upon is the 3D. I actually, for the first time ever with any of my 3DS games, which isn't too many, but I forget the 3D's on. Which blew my mind when I was like, holy crap, I didn't realize that I had the slider. Because I did change it a little bit to try it out in 2D. But I honestly, my brain doesn't realize the difference when I really get into it. And with Ocarina of Time 3DS, which I just finished also, part of it's some of that ghosting issue, but I've noticed that for sure, the 3D. And I'm always aware of the 3D. But in Mario Land, or Mario 3D Land, I am seriously just engrossed in it. It's as if it's just a little window, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's the same thing here. If you look long enough, you can see the ghosting, but just as you're playing it, you really can't notice the ghosting. Like, especially, and I think that might have to do with just how colorful the worlds are, where maybe in Ocarina of Time, you know what I mean? It's kind of more, not, I don't want to really say bland, but there's just more instances where you can actually see that.
Yeah, it's dark and earthy, you know. And I think that's where the ghosting issues happen the most, too, is in dark, black areas. So I don't know if that's something with the screens and the pixels or something like that, but that's when you'll notice. I mean, well, I guess because you've got a black background and then you've got, like, red fire or blue fire, and that's going to contrast a lot better than perhaps, you know, bright blue next to bright green or something. Have you gone back to... Oh, you know what? Actually, I probably shouldn't mention that. That might be a post-game spoiler, so never mind. But
It doesn't matter to me. I don't really worry about spoilers too much because in this game, I mean, it's not like there's like some big story that you're going to run for them. You know what I mean? That's
true.
I mean, you know, so it's whatever you want to, you know, it doesn't bother me or whatever. Oh. I mean, that's like when I found all those things on IGN and I post them in the one message about how to do this and do that. I mean, if I would have never saw that stuff, I would have never known.
Right.
I mean, I would have, you know, I would have, you know, like I said, I probably still, you know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Not even now, you know, then I feel like, okay, I don't know if I should even say this or not, but
yeah,
because I don't know how fickle some people are with like, oh, I didn't want to know that or whatever, you know, but it's like I said, some of that stuff I just would have never known. And I want to know in advance, like what all does the game have to offer? What, you know what I mean? I don't really see it as spoiling the game because I may not have tried to do all this stuff.
Right.
And I may have missed something at the end.
Yeah. Well, people are so varied, you know, so I'm always trying to be sensitive in the whole, like, even though I know that you wouldn't care, you know, just, that's one thing I hate about podcasts sometimes is just like, they'll just blurt out something. That's why I try to give like a 30-second leeway so people know, just skip ahead a little bit, you know, cause I don't want them, to, I mean, even if it's not like a new level or something, obviously I'm not describing in detail, but there's something cool about discovering like the things that you posted in the forums. Some people want to discover those on their own. Or at least, or wait until the game's been out for a while and they've been playing it to discover. But so, I mean, different camps or whatever, different strokes for different folks.
And I'll also be honest. There was a couple levels. It was like on one of the end levels on the airship. There was a couple times that I used the gold Tanuki leaf because at one time I had like 26 lives and then I ended up going down to 8 lives on the one. It's just like, okay, enough is enough. And I still have to go back through the level anyways to get one of the star coins. So I figured like, well, when I go back to do that, I'll do it without using the Tanuki leaf, you know. But because the thing is, you can still die if you fall off the ledge. So, and like I said, just some of those, it's just like, wow. I mean, these are, you know, I'm glad for some people it was easy. But to me, it's just like, man, this is tough.
Yeah, I didn't want to. I don't know if it changes if you use it or not as far as like the representation that the game shows you for accomplishing things. So I didn't want to risk seeing that at all. So if I died like 3 or 4 times in a level, cause I think it's 5 is the magic number.
Right.
I would then just quit and go to a different level and beat that. And then that way, cause it only does it if you die this like that many times in the same level. So I would just back out of the level and go to a different one and beat that. And then that would like reset my clock.
Well, there is one thing that if you're going through the game, if you want to like get, I guess, get everything perfect in the game, you don't want that leaf to show up. There is something that it does change, which you may know about already, but yeah, from reading on the forums. But I mean, it's not a big deal. Something like that I could live with. I don't know if I'd play through the whole game again just to get that one extra little thing.
I felt kind of silly that I was even caring so much, but I, you know, I had already gone through so much of the game without seeing it. I was like, you know what? Not happening. I think it's cool that Nintendo has continued to include these assists. Everyone complained about these assisting blocks or these special ways that Nintendo would help players as if it was somehow dumbing them down. But this is a challenging game, and that gold Tanuki leaf is optional, just like all their assisting in all their games. You know, so I think it's awesome because if someone needs to use it or wants to use it, they should have that option. It makes it it makes hard games available to all, and that means that us as gamers are going to get harder games because they don't have to be worried about someone getting frustrated after 20 minutes and then returning the game, you know, or selling it off.
Yeah, and I can see for like maybe like little parents that would buy this for their kids, you know, especially maybe if they're like really young, they might have to use that on some of these levels to get, you know. Now, the one thing I would never use the P-Wing because I just don't see the point in that. It just, you know, hopefully it's not a big spoiler, but you know, it just takes you to the end of the game. You know, I mean, why would you want to bypass the whole level? I mean, that's the only thing I didn't like. You know, that's why I would never use those features in the new Super Mario Brothers Wii and the Donkey Kong Country Returns, because those things do just play the whole level for you.
Right.
That's the thing with the gold leaf. I don't feel like it's really playing the level for me because, believe it or not, there was times that I died having the gold leaf. So, you know, right, I missed a ledge or whatever. But right.
One last quick question. Although, Larry, again, hopefully we're not, like, talking too much.
Oh, no, y'all are fine.
But, wait, the P-Wing, I didn't even see the P-Wing a single time. Where do you get that?
It's if you die 10 times.
So it's a gold leaf after 5 and P-Wing after 10?
Yeah, and after 10 times, then that shows up, so you'll have both of them on the screen. So then you can, then if you take the get the P-Wing, then it will take you all the way to the very end of the level.
That'd be cool if it would just let you fly there yourself, so you could like explore, like intentionally do it.
Yeah, I never actually used it, so I don't know if it... I'm just assuming you just automatically go to the end of the level. I mean, it may actually, maybe it takes control of Mario and he goes through it like in the other games. I've never used it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Maybe I'll start up another file just to die, just to see it.
But yeah, there is a few levels. There wasn't many levels, probably maybe like 2, 3, or 4 levels where I did die more than 10 times where the P-Wing did come up. So. Mm-hmm. Like I said, so it's like I said, it, to me, that some of the levels were pretty challenging. That's like now I'm in the middle of World 8 and I've got one life. I have yet to see the game over screen and I'm not going to see a game over. So I'm going to go back to the earlier levels and build up some extra lives. But yeah, I mean, you know, and that surprised me too about in the World 8 there. I thought I was almost done and I guess I'm not. So it's, you know, so. Mm-hmm. That level's a little bit longer than the rest of the levels.
Like you told me that you wanted to 100% this game before Skyward Sword, and sir, I can vouch you will not. There is a lot of content.
I know I'm not today. Yeah, I know. I mean, I may actually beat the main part today. I do want to do that, but I probably could have did it last night, but I was just lazy and I got online and then I just wanted to. And like I said, after working all week so much, this. Even though I want to play games, a lot of times I just don't feel like having to think about pressing the buttons. I just want to sit back and just watch TV and become a vegetable.
Well, okay, I guess we should move on then. We're a bit over time, so...
Go out and buy Super Mario Land 3D if you haven't bought it already. You'll really like it a lot.
That's pretty much a Game Wizard guarantee, it sounds like.
Money back guarantee.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about Mario Kart, and I don't know what your collective experiences with Mario Kart or the Smash Brothers series, specifically Brawl, but, you know, I was talking with Pogue Squadron a few weeks ago, and, you know, think about Mario Kart, and, you know, I play in the League, and I'm about to get the new one and everything, and there's a lot of content in these Mario games these days. I mean, if you think back to the Super Mario Kart for the Super Nintendo, there's, you know, X amount of tracks, and you have your 8 characters, and that's it. No customizable carts, no difference here, difference there. It's just very, this is the game, here it is. And that was my dog. As the games progress, there has been, you know, there's more and more characters, and you know, you'll see one character come and one character go as the series changes and everything. You'll see different levels. They started bringing back retro tracks, which is pretty cool. But why even omit content, I'm wondering, you know? Maybe it's a size limit, but I'm thinking about Brawl and how that was such a pinnacle of a Smash Brothers series. It did take out a few of the characters, but it brought in a lot of characters and it brought in so many new levels and creative levels, and it brought back some old levels. And I guess in a way, yes, they of course will kick out things from time to time, but there's so much content. It's so saturated. There's the trophies and the music. There's 300 plus tracks of music in that game. And so it just makes me, you know, kind of get anxious. Like Mario Kart could be a really good series to do that. You know, maybe have your main game, but why not have all the tracks from Mario Kart Wii in there? Or all the Mario 64 tracks? Why is there not like a pinnacle version? And as I thought about this more and more, I realized it's almost unstable to do that. Because in a way, what would it make you, or how would they get you to buy the next game if you had all the tracks in there? That's for one. So maybe that's not so much of a viable idea, but what about characters, though? Why do we have to lose characters at all? Like, I really enjoyed Rosalina in general. I like her as a character. I think she's a cool Princess Peach-type character from the Galaxy games. And she's in Mario Kart Wii, and I have no idea if she's in Mario Kart 7 or not, but if they take her out, why take her out? She was like the one I used the most, you know? So I guess, I don't know, I just wanted to bring up the Mario Kart series. You know, we can do a little bit of drooling over how awesome it is, and then we can also discuss, you know, why exactly haven't they just packed it even fuller with stuff or more music, customizable music, or I guess there is a community aspect that's in the new Mario Kart 7 where you can change and have races like to be green shell only or red shells only. So there's some more customization, but why don't we have all the battle levels together instead of them picking like, here's this one, here's this one. Like, why is it so choosy, you know? I mean, what do you guys think about that? Why haven't we just had everything in one? Why does it always have to be so chopped up and we lose stuff and all that?
Yeah, you'd think it'd be pretty easy since they already have all those levels, you know what I mean? Just to bring that code over to the new game. And, you know, I mean, if they wanted to upgrade the graphics for that stuff, there might be a little bit of work, you know, for some of it. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not against any of that at all. You think like you think it would be pretty easy for them to do it, you know? I mean, but no, as far as me, I'll be honest. I think it was a couple of podcasts ago where they were talking about all the customization, like the wheels and how you can change your carts. Mm-hmm. See, that's like with me, I'm not really into customizing all that stuff, just like in like the Madden games and building your teams. I just wanted to have it right there and be able to play it and that's it. But definitely, I think they could add a lot more to the Mario Kart games and what they do.
I think they just wanted to keep each iteration distinct from the others. It kind of looks like at least with the Wii version, they're trying to, you know, draw back, of course, you know, bringing back past tracks or whatnot. But I mean, that just seems to be what it is from, you know, from my perspective, is that each Mario Kart game is fairly distinct from the other iterations.
You know, because the past few games have all had 16. Normal levels or new levels, and then 16 retro levels inside. So why not bump that to 32 each? You know, you could still do that without using all the levels from previous games. Do you think that there's any merit there that they should be doing that, or do you think that it perhaps is just perfect how it is?
I mean, with me, and I'll be honest, I don't really have those complaints. I mean, I've been pretty happy with all the games. The only Mario Kart game I haven't played really was for the Wii. I owned that game, but at the time when it came out, I was going through a pretty difficult time in my life, and that probably had a lot to do with the way I felt about the game. I just said, I don't like this game. And I kept it for about a month, and I took it back and traded it in for something else. And that was my bad for doing that, because like I said, I was going through a really difficult time in my life at that time. So I pretty much really didn't play much at all that game. And so it's like I basically didn't play it. So I do need to go out and get it again. But as far as, other than that, all the other Mario Kart games, other than the ones that were on the handhelds, except for the DS, I 100% completed all, you know what I mean? Went through the single player mode and did everything that there was to do and got the mirror modes and all that stuff like that. So I really liked the Mario Kart games a lot, but I've never really felt that way. Like, well, why don't they do this? But I can see where you're coming from. Like, I don't see why they couldn't have all those characters. It's not like it takes up that much file space or anything like that.
Right.
You know, but as far as the amount of tracks go and stuff like that, I mean, you said something about having 32 tracks for each instead of the 16. I don't know. That seems like it might be a lot, but maybe for somebody like yourself, you know, you would enjoy that, you know. I mean, I wouldn't say I wouldn't enjoy it, but I don't think I'd need it.
Well, the thing is, too, as I think I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, that I admit that as I kept thinking about this, I realized it's probably not as necessary as I wanted it to be for my own sake of this podcast. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of merit to what you were saying about, you know, 32 would be too much. And you know, you want to be able to get good at these levels. You want to be able to keep practicing them. And 32, to master 32 and then 32 retro tracks, that can be a lot to take. So maybe in the levels, I think actually they might have hit a nice sweet spot. It would be kind of neat if they did some sort of bonus content to where if you, instead of just like mirroring things, that there was a special cup, so 20 new tracks instead of 16. I think that would be kind of nice. I wish there was a bit more unlockable stuff besides just new characters, And maybe with this one that there's going to be, because I know that there's a lot of customization like you guys were just mentioning.
Now, I will be honest, now that I remember back on, I will admit, like on the N64, I remember when that Mario Kart came out. And then wasn't it like 8 months later when the Diddy Kong Racing came out? I thought the Diddy Kong, it's like, wow, now there's like really a lot to do in this game. And maybe they could do something like that, kind of make a story mode for the Mario Kart games like they did the Diddy Kong Racing. And I mean, I thought that now that would be pretty cool to do.
Yeah. Did you play that Diddy Kong Racing, Larry?
I play on the N64. I played it, you know, did everything. I did have it when it came out for the DS, but I didn't like, they had kind of changed it a little bit or something.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Oh, sorry. My bad.
That's all right. No, that's good. Yeah. I just didn't care for on the DS, but yeah, the N64 version, I played that and I thought it was actually pretty challenging, especially that, that story mode, you had to fight against that
Whiz Pig.
Yeah,
I'll never forget that bastard.
I hate that freaking pig.
I remember when I finally beat him that day, and I mean, I'm not just beating by like probably like a half a second, and I don't know how many times I played it, you know, and he kept beating me. It's just like that was probably one of the more challenging races, other than like that F-Zero GX game for the GameCube, but that's on a whole different level. But yeah, I love that Diddy Kong Racing. And I just remember after playing that, it's like, man, why don't they? It's like that Mario Kart just seems so like there was nothing to it after playing Diddy Kong.
Now, I guess in a way, with the new mechanics of this new Mario Kart with the hang glider and then the propeller, underwater propeller, that kind of in a way mimics the whole kart plane hovercraft thing of Diddy Kong Racing. And you know, you made my face light up, even though you guys couldn't tell, when you mentioned Diddy Kong Racing, because I forgot about that game for a minute. That's has such fond memories for me as well, and I always did want that kind of a story mode. I mean, it'd be kind of nice in my opinion to have a story mode in a Mario Kart game, I guess, with, you know, a Giga Bowser chasing your ass down a you know, I mean, would that be kind of cool? I mean, if you think about it.
I mean, it was still, you're just racing, but, you know, you had to collect those coins as well. You know, there was a little bit more objectives that you had to do. It wasn't just racing around and getting the gold cup and then moving on. It felt like it was giving you more stuff to do. And, that would be cool, having to race against Bowser. That would be cool.
And Smash Brothers Brawl had the Subspace Emissary, you know, so it had even, I mean, that's a multiplayer game getting a first player or single player mode, while Mario Kart has always had single player. But I think it would be pretty cool to have some sort of story going on with that. And it could perhaps introduce, it'd be a unique way to introduce new characters, kind of like how Brawl did. What do you think would be kind of, I don't know, how do you think they could shoehorn a Giga Bowser race into this? What do you think they would have any sort of real plot?
Peach baked a cake and the winner of the cup will get the cake. And Bowser's just gonna cheat to get it.
Do you freaking work for Nintendo? Because that is scary. How brilliant that is. This is me segueing probably way too early, but do you guys feel like there should be non-Nintendo character or non-Mario characters in Mario Kart? That's been a debate before. Like, could you see Sonic joining the fray?
I've given this a bit of thought since you'd told me about the topic, and I would say I would like to see that. But then that wouldn't make it Mario Kart specifically. I mean, just, right. You know, it's Mario Kart with Mario themed stages, Mario characters. And, you know, I kind of envisioned, you know, having Samus with a little cartified, you know, gunship and, you know, just, you know, other characters, Link riding, I don't know.
A Pono with wheels. or a Bomchu or something like that.
But I mean, and I would see that and it would look fun, but then would it be Mario Kart? It'd be like, you know, Super Smash Kart, which, I mean, you know, I'd like to see happen, but I don't think Nintendo would do because they want to keep it specifically, you know, Mario Kart.
Well, I'm surprised I guess the new characters a little bit branch off into this. I don't know if you guys even know or want to know, but I mean, I can list off, you know, the new characters that we know about right now if you want me to.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's fun.
So,
yeah.
You know, I'm looking at this Nintendo Power right in front of me, and we've got Metal Mario is a new guy.
Awesome.
The Honey Queen from Mario Galaxy. So of all people or characters?
That, I saw that somewhere, and that surprised me. It's like, I can't believe they put the Honey Queen in there.
Yeah, and I mean, she's seriously not as big as she was there. She must have lost some weight. But and then you've got Wiggler, which is pretty cool. That's a cool addition. Shy Guy is back. I guess he was in a different one. I forget which one he was in, but he was in a Mario Kart before. And then finally, the guy that I've wanted for years is Lakitu. Or Lakitu, the cloud, you know, the cloud Koopa.
Yeah.
So like that's, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm pretty hyped. He already might be my guy to go to, but so there's gotta be more characters to unlock because they wouldn't just announce everything because that's such a big part of the game is to unlock new characters. Do you guys feel that they get enough variety? I mean, the honey queen is pretty obscure, but I kind of wish that they would do more obscure characters.
If they put those in, in my opinion, then why don't they have Samus and Link? Yeah, I mean, they'd be just using carts and not horses or ships. But, you know, I would probably rather see some of those characters maybe in the, you know what I mean? But I don't know.
It's only because, I mean, even those characters are obscure. They're still from the Mario universe.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I mean, of course, when you start going cross-franchise, then it's, you know, less Mario Kart, more Nintendo Kart.
Right.
Although, in a way, we can race with Link by our Miis, you know, we can create Link Miis and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool I do kind of like that inclusion into the Mario Kart franchise as a whole, because there's a friend of mine in Indianapolis who I play Mario Kart a lot with. It's kind of nice racing with someone you actually recognize, you know, it's kind of weird to recognize a character in a video game like that. But as for someone who I can't see very often physically, it's kind of nice to almost think that I'm doing that. But what do you guys, give me your quick opinions then on who should be in Mario Kart.
I would like to see Nintendo like go from a far extreme and yank someone out of Mario RPG.
Geno, or is that too obvious?
Geno would be cool. I was kind of thinking Booster. We could use a crazy looking bastard in there.
Yeah, I think we could use more enemies, more like big baddies, you know.
Yeah.
Or like the Magic Koopa, I'd like to see him. He'd be a pretty cool guy to use.
Yeah, riding a broom.
He's probably up there with my love of Lakitu, as far as who I'd want to see there. Yeah, Magic Koopa would be really cool. So I guess they do have a pretty wide range. I don't think that we need the baby versions of everything.
Yeah, you know? I agree.
I think that's almost overkill. But I get that some people are gonna, you know, if there's a baby Mario and Luigi, well, someone who plays as Daisy is gonna want a baby Daisy. So. It's kind of hard to make everyone happy.
See, I was never a big stickler on like a whole bunch of characters because I would pretty much just always just use Mario in in every game I ever played and 100% the game like that. And I never worried about using the other characters. I mean, because for a lot of the games, the control really didn't change depending on the character that you use, right?
Yeah, it's more about the cart. I mean, the character size allows you to choose light, medium, or heavyweight. Because clearly, right, you know, King Bowser is going to have more heft to him than Dry Bones. But yeah, besides that, it was more about the cart selection.
Yeah, and that was more like in Mario Kart Wii that the size of the character made a little bit of a difference, right? Because I don't think in previous versions that it really made a big difference.
No, I mean, I think there was, you know, there still is a difference, I think, even going back to Mario 64 or Mario Kart 64, with the sizes of the carts or the characters. But yeah, there's no cart customization at all. It didn't matter. It was just, you know, heavy, medium, or light.
Right. Yeah.
And of course, the lighter carts, you know, can move across sand a little quicker, but they also can get bumped away, while big, heavy carts will dig into the dirt and that kind of thing. But they'll also be not pushovers. No, what I think would be really cool in a Mario Kart game, because that's kind of where, I mean, is it, you know, I don't remember exactly where Waluigi was invented. It was maybe what, Mario Golf or something, or Mario Tennis?
Tennis, he made his debut.
Okay. So, obviously, they don't need to have a main game to introduce these kind of obscure characters. I think we might as well, this is like hypocritical of me, because I just said we don't need all the baby versions, but we need a Wapeach or a Weech. Or something like that. I want Wario and Waluigi to have their evil version of, you know, of their, like, an evil baker, you know, someone to bake them evil cakes. And So I think that would be kind of neat, actually, just because I'm dying to see character design on that. You know, how would they design an evil Peach? That would be kind of cool. But I like your idea about the Super Mario RPG characters, or even they have the Mario and Luigi series as well. They have a lot of RPG elements.
Oh, yeah. Fawful. We need Fawful.
Fawful, there you go. Chortle. Yeah. and then what about Paper Mario? That'd be kind of neat to have. I can imagine the effects that they might do with a Paper Mario guy, you know, racing, or whether it's Mario or not. But
you wouldn't be able to see him from behind.
Well, perhaps. Yeah, he could be sitting at an angle, you know, so you can always see him pretty much. But that might be kind of weird, because then when you're racing, it's like an invisible character. So maybe that'd be pointless. I don't know. I'm just going to start chortling now so I can back out of this discussion. But any last comments on this, guys? Anything else you want to say about Mario Kart?
Mario Kart is awesome.
Yep. Looking forward to Mario Kart 7.
Yeah, absolutely. And it'll be fun to race with you guys. And anyone else who's listening, definitely look for that league, because it's probably going to happen. And now I just made it sound like I'm the one who's going to do it, which I don't know if I have time to set that up, but hopefully somebody will. It'll happen. So, okay. Well, anyway, we're all about out of time. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'd really like you to comment on what you've heard on negativeworld.org. Simply find the thread associated to this episode, which will be posted along with the episode. If you don't want to subscribe to Negative World, you can reach us to the Facebook page. You just got to search for negativeworld.org. If I haven't said that URL enough already. Or you can reach us on Twitter at @negative_world. And, you know, we keep that pretty up to date. That's pretty cool. So be sure to check out the discussion thread for Skyward Sword, which is no doubt going to be growing exponentially after tomorrow. And we also have my review of Super Mario 3D Land up, if you guys are interested in reading what I had to say about it. And finally, I just want to mention that Shadow Link just bumped a great thread by Secret Tunnel about the Zelda timeline. And seriously, it's a pretty fun read, so that's only going to get better in the coming weeks with all the new information from the Skyward Sword storyline coming in. Finally, I do want to mention, update your game database if you haven't, because that's a really cool feature of the site, and it doesn't work if nobody updates their database and what they're playing or what they own, that kind of thing. So anyway, I've babbled on long enough. Thank you, Cryogen and Game Wizard, for doing this with me. And I really appreciate your time both here and on the boards. So thanks again, everyone, for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you. And yeah, sorry. First podcast jitters, so I apologize if I messed stuff up.
No, that's okay. You both did great. Yeah, this was fun. So I hope everyone else enjoyed it. And see you guys in 2 weeks.